Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Growth Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025. Build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, in the studio, Scottsdale, HQ, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How are we doing today?
Good.
Got a good one.
Change, adapt, or die.
Just leave it at that.
All right. That's it for the show, guys. No, guys, listen, here's the scoop. In this fitness industry, there's trends. There's macro trends, micro trends. And it's so funny because there's whole gyms built around a micro trend that completely become extinct in a matter of like years.
Yeah.
Right. A couple years.
Major franchises built around them.
I mean, I'll just give you an example. If you've been in the fitness industry 5 or 7 years, you remember TRX Studios? Well, TRX was a tool.
Tool. Yeah.
That, I mean, great tool. We have them here.
I have one in my house.
Right. I think it was developed by Navy SEAL or something to train out on the, you know, put it over the tank turret and do like, you know, knee tucks and stuff. Here's a scoop, guys. That's a trend,
yeah.
Right? It's a micro trend, right? And you've got this, or battle ropes or say kettlebells.
Cycle.
Spin. Well, spin's still around.
It is, but at the same time, I don't think it's doing what it used to do.
Oh, no.
You know what
no.
I mean?
And what I'm trying to say here is like, there's gyms out there that are living and holding on to a past model that is only going to sink the ship. You're slowly dying now. You realize that you're doing large group training. You're doing 6-week challenges. You're doing something or using your marketing that was working, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's not working
anymore. Yeah. I had another conversation about that last weekend.
And in order for you to survive in this industry, you have to adapt. You have to adapt because what works yesterday doesn't work today.
Sure.
And it's just the way the world works. So give you a great example. When I first opened the gym in 2009, okay, we're 16 years ago. Obviously I opened it in a model. Once we get into the training model, the big thing back then was boot camps. It was CrossFit. It was boot camps. So high intensity interval training was the thing.
Yeah.
And we ran that wave for a long time, but that, let's just say this 2011, 2010, 11, 12, there's people coming out opening a brand new gyms all about boot camps right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Tim, you know, they still work maybe, but not like they were. You can just lob the word boot camp out there and it would bring people in.
Yeah. Yeah. Those fire breathers, right? The people that had, it didn't matter where they were going. They just need to get hot right. And sweaty today.
Another great example is literally the word CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trend that didn't adapt, and that's completely, there's more gyms, CrossFit's closing than opening.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much turmoil over there. It's ridiculous. And if you're a diehard CrossFit gym, God bless you, right? You're not going to change. You decided this, we're core, true and true. You will struggle.
Sure.
Because you're not adapting.
Yeah.
And what worked in 2009, 10, 11, 15
doesn't work in 2025, 26, 27.
This is where it's a really difficult, like, inward
reflection
because the writing's on the wall, right? If you're the gym that's looking, if you're going from agency to agency to agency looking for the next lead, what we have is so amazing. It's so, the marketplace is the ultimate decider, bar none, right? You could put all your eggs in that basket. You could die on that vine. But if people aren't willing to buy it for the rate that you want it to be,
sure.
It's the writing's on the wall, right? And it's you're constantly trying to replace the attrition in your business, and you can't do it because the cost per acquisition for that new client is so high for the value of what you're able to charge, and you have a revolving door. And if that's your business right now, this is a perfect episode for you because something, it's not about going and working harder. It's not about going and finding the next agency or the next challenge or hook. Look at the model and what you provide. Does that have legs? Is that what people are looking for?
It's a great point. Now, I'm speaking about the model, but there's other things that you can adapt to that aren't just necessarily the model. So what I like to do, and I might shoot myself in the foot here, but I'm going to tell you my secret sauce.
Ooh.
I'm going to share it. I don't look at the fitness industry for inspiration.
Completely true.
I look outside. I look at what the best businesses in the world are doing. I'm looking out at a different service-based operations. The fitness industry is in this like vacuum.
Echo chamber,
vacuum, whatever you want to call it. It's, you guys need to get out of it. Okay. And so the people that we bring in to speak at our events, at our Iron Circle events, most of the time are outside. Almost all of them are outside mm-hmm. of the fitness industry. Not to say that there's not some good folks out there. I'm just looking for new and better.
It's innovation, right? And if you're in a room of nodding heads, you know, when everyone just agrees, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. That's what we've done forever. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're not innovating. You're not adapting. You're not changing. It's just holding on. And I see that with gym owners all of the time.
Yeah. And I would tell you, I mean, we're talking to gym owners, but there's coaches that listen to the show too. I would challenge you to ask the owner specifically why you do certain things. Okay. And if the answer is like, that's the way we've always done it, then that's a problem.
I had this conversation yesterday with one of the gym owners I was on the phone with. Right. And if we look at the business with a level of intentionality mm-hmm. that I think blows away 99% of businesses out there, from the color of the walls to the music that's played, to the cleanliness, everything has a reason that we do things the way we do it. That I use that exact point. If you ask your question, if you ask yourself the question in your business, why do we do it this way? And it's just, that's the way that it's been done.
Yeah.
That's not a level of intentionality. It might be ignorance, right? It might just be the fact that I've never thought about it. I don't know the best way. I've never challenged that thought. And I use the example, I tell gym owners, I go, my job as your coach is not to if I disagree with you or if I challenge you on something, it's not that I disagree. I'm doing it intentionally to make sure you're convicted in the decision that you have.
There's a reason for it.
Exactly, right? Give me the reason, right? Make it make sense. Why do you do things this way?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that answer, then that is the challenge. Create some conviction around why you do it, right? Mm-hmm. Sell it to yourself. Do you have belief in what you're bringing to the table? Is it part of your ethos, your methodology? Do you believe in the product that you serve? And if the answer is no, here's a great example. Do you go to the gym yourself and train the same way you train clients? If it's not in alignment, have you made a business decision to serve a group of people that isn't the same as you as the avatar? Or is it just a difference of, well, that's how we've done things and I'm not going to make the change to what we know to be true today. And that's where your opportunity lies.
Well, I got a great example. So I go and get smoothies or protein shakes at the supplement place. Okay. And during COVID, they had these two doors and one's right by the register and one's kind of like open into the showroom or whatever. And they locked the one by the register. They locked it. And at the time it was because they didn't want people crowding around the front desk. Okay. And I know that's why they close it. Cause I specifically asked, why is this locked?
Yeah.
Well, we don't want people bundling up right here. Cause we have to keep separation. Okay. That door is still locked today. And I asked the girl at the front desk, I was like, hey, do you know why this door is locked right here? I don't know.
She probably wasn't even in the business back
then. She wasn't. She wasn't in the business. And I go, well, the reason this door is locked is because during COVID, they didn't want people to crowd around the door. She goes, really? I go, yeah. Is there any reason to have this door locked right here anymore? No. The reason it's locked is because that's the way it's always been done.
Yep.
It's inconvenient for me. I got to go through this other door and then loop around when I can just go right to, you know, that's right where the smoothies are, right there.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And that's just a great point. I go, I challenge you, girl, at the front desk to ask your management why this door is locked. And I'll tell you why it's locked, because I was here before it was locked and after it was locked. And the reason it was locked is because they didn't want people crowding around the door. And at the time, okay, kind of made sense because people would just bundle up right there. And now when they go through the other door, they got to stretch out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that made sense. But there's no reason for that to still be locked, right? And it's just the way it was always been done. And it's like, gosh, if we get into a political rant, it's like government, right?
Hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Growth Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
It's like government. Especially around this issue of big change. Like, let's just talk about 9/11.
Okay.
Talking about 9/11. So there's big terrorist attack in the United States. It was done through via airplanes. The TSA adopted all these new rules.
Yes.
Tons and tons and tons of new rules. One of those rules is take your shoes off. Okay. You still got to go through the x-ray machines. There's no reason to take your shoes off. There really wasn't one back then, but they did it out of scare tactics. Like there could be a bomb in the shoe or whatever, but there's no reason today. The reason it's there, it's because it's been there.
Because they put it in there.
But if somebody was going to reevaluate the TSA, so, and then why is one airport different than another airport and then another airport? There's no consistency across how they scan people at airports. There's also, like, there's so many things that I question in life, right? Anything that you can question. So, I don't know. We're going to complete off on a tangent, but this is, I guess we'll bring it, we'll loop it back in. Mm-hmm. We'll loop it back. There's two things in life, well, that I'm thinking off the top of my head that they don't get. Okay. you've got to go through TSA and you got to check your bag and you got to do all this stuff. But then if I wanted to, I could literally go to the airport right now, pick up 3 bags and leave. Yeah. Nobody's checking for those bags. Yep. I could steal everybody's bags.
You just have to be the first person the terminal to make, or the roundabout to make sure your bag isn't going to somebody else.
Or be the last one when there's 4 bags, yeah. That the person missed their flight and you just take their bags. Okay. Yeah. That's the second thing is I can go to the pharmacy right now that I know you have a prescription at.
Oh yeah.
And I can pick up your prescription. Who are you picking up for? Not for me. I'm picking up for Randy. What's his birthday? What's his address? Cool. Pay for it. And I can get your painkillers. I can get your... What? That doesn't make sense either.
Narcotics.
And the thought there is, well, the person's sick at home. They can't come up to the... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, how can I can go pick up your... But I have to go through this big... I have to go through this giant loophole, go to a doctor, get blood work, get my prescription... And then somebody else could just get it. All right. Completely off topic. But Helena's, she's shaking her head.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
true.
Good
it's
point. Really true. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But the point of this show is you have to question why you do things.
Yeah.
There's things in your business right now that are not productive. Maybe it's a meeting that you're hosting and it's just like you're not really getting anything out of those meetings. Cut the meeting.
Stop the meeting. Yeah.
Maybe it's you guys are holding on to an old pricing structure that doesn't serve you guys anymore. Change it.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, I can't change it because I'm going to hear about, you are. As soon as you make any change, you can add a time.
I say that all the time. You could cut your price in half, double the amount of sessions that you give people, and they're like, someone's leaving. They're like, no, it's too good to be true.
Yeah. I'm out of here. Nope. I'm like change. Yep. I'm like change. I'm leaving your gym. Right. So it's just really, really interesting that there's things out there that you guys probably can and you can fix anything, but you should be fixing, but you're holding on to an old model or there's a new way to do things. You're running your programming off of clipboards. Right. You're doing an old model, right? As far as the programming goes or the delivery, you're charging way less than you should, but you don't change it and you're going to die. So that's the name of this episode, change or die.
Yeah.
Now that to be said, you should always be testing new things in your gym. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the easiest thing to test is marketing because that's like a 3-day test. All right. You don't really have to change much. You can lob something out there. But you should change, you should look at the cadence of your nurture sequences.
Sure.
Can we change the time that this email gets sent to get a higher open rate? Can we change what we say? Can we subtract?
Subject lines,
right? Tests, split test, offers, cadences. You could look at your capacity and say, man, that 11 a.m. is just like two people show up every single week and there's no way to grow that. Like cut it. Move those people into another hour. So when we were getting rid of large group training in this gym, this is the phased approach. We said, what's our least performing? We cut those first. And let's just say there was three. Well, the people got a little shook, but then they adapted and they moved into the other sessions. And then those other sessions became bigger.
Yep.
Right. And so now I've got this open gap. What can I do to make money in that spot? Right. So then we add some my private training there. And so like,
it's optimizing the business.
There you go.
Through data.
The worst thing you could do is just sit on your hands and watch the business slowly decrease and be like, well, it's because of COVID. This before COVID, we were really doing great with this. And because of COVID, we can't do it like we would. Shut up, man. There's no excuse for COVID anymore.
Yeah.
It's 5 years ago.
Yep.
If you're using COVID in your thought process of why you're not succeeding, that's the problem.
That's the problem itself. Yeah.
COVID's over.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about COVID anymore.
I have an example. We were talking with one of our coaching clients about the offer, right? And she made mention, right? She was sharing copy that she was going to launch in a new set of ads. And the offer was, I think it was 50% off or a discounted rate or it was some form of discount. And I said, you know, have you tried the same thing without the discount in the first month or whatever it was? And she goes, no. She goes, that was what my previous agency recommended. And I fired them.
Oh, well.
I go, well, then why are we using what they recommend? If you didn't get the result with them, this is what they recommended. Why are we going back to something that wasn't working
right. Instead
of challenging or trying, testing something new? Well, I mean, we know that it can be done. We know that we teach gyms every day to be able to sell memberships without having to discount their opportunities. But if you don't test it in your marketplace, if you never try it yourself, you're always going to gravitate back towards a discount, the lowest hanging fruit, the easy path of least resistance type thing. And you don't have to, right? I mean, we sell high value programming at a respectable price point. The delivery matches the value of what we bring to the marketplace, the price that we ask for it. But every gym owner, you know, that we talk to can't raise their rates from 15 years ago. Why? Because you're afraid, the fear of the change. Yep. And that's a big thing. We use data to strip away a lot of that emotional resistance. When you know your numbers, I mean, let's say you do a price raise, right? The percentage of price that you raise is almost is pretty much equivalent to the amount of clients you can lose and still make the same amount of money. Right. It's not a bad thing to serve less people at a higher value. It's a much easier business to run. And then you can refill that, you know, the client, the number, get the people back after the fact, find the people that resonate with what you do bring to the table. But mm-hmm. don't hold yourself to where you were because you're afraid of taking that next step. And that's the hardest part is gym owners. I'm sure there's a lot of things that we've talked about that you've thought about, but you haven't made a decision for some reason. Why? What is that reason?
Fear.
Fear.
You're afraid to lose a client. You're scraping by as it is. And so like, if you change something, you're going to leave and you're going to be in the hole. I wouldn't say 100% of the time, but I would say a good majority, probably 80 to 90% of the time, firing a client that's really the one dragging your business down ends up being the best decision you've ever made. I've fired 5 clients in 16 years here. And it usually by the time I hear about it, it's way too late. But it's easy for me to fire a client because I already know what the outcome is. And so I'll give you an example. You know, we have a client that's in a group of women that is the cancer, right? Like sure. She's always bitching. Her life sucks already. So she comes in here and just drags everybody else down. Well, we got these 5 other women that this is their enclave. They come here as a place to train and get away and work on themselves. And then you got this cancer in there that's just like the Trump or the government, you know, like I've got a flat tire last week. Okay. Right. And so, and then what's even worse is when they start bad mouthing the business.
Sure.
Yeah. They cut this time or man, that coach really sucks. Or, you know, they lost this coach. They don't know what they're doing at the gym, right? That ownership or they start bad mouthing something. And then it starts to catch screw. So what you're going to do is you're going to fire that client. And what's going to happen is those other 5 women are going to thank you.
Yep.
I was wondering when she was so bad to, you know, they don't tell you in the moment, but as soon as you fire the client, then everybody's, why didn't you do that?
Yep, exactly. It's like, always,
I didn't know about it.
I'd say most change in the business that in most changes that are made that are met with a level of fear like that, when you do it, it's more often than not the feeling around it after the fact is I wish I did this sooner.
Always firing the coach, firing the client. I'll tell you how I did it because it was fun. So I'm not usually here, but like, you know, Zach was here. It's like, I'm gonna have to fire this client. You know, he was telling me the scoop. It got to me, but by the time it gets to me, it's like I said, it's way too late. So the lady comes in at 8 a.m. So I get here about 7:45. I bring her in the office and I basically said, I've gone ahead and canceled your membership. You're no longer a member here and we're just not a good fit for you anymore. Then they scream and yell. Oh my God, what do you mean? I'm like, listen, we've gone ahead and canceled your membership. I've refunded your month. Well, I've already driven over here. I've already set, today was my day to work out. I go, well, I'll be happy to reimburse you for your gas. Like she does not get to go past that door.
Yeah.
And which as soon as she does and she's going to cause a problem, I just walk her to her car, get the fuck out of here.
We could probably do a whole episode on protecting your client base. And that's what you have to do. When you have something in your business that's cancerous, right? It's ruining the experience of the other people who are paying good money to be in that session. The onus is on the business owner to protect the rest of the people. When you got 5 people that are being affected by the one's got to go.
Yeah. All this stuff's difficult.
Yeah.
Raising your rates is difficult. Firing a client is difficult. Firing a coach is difficult. Changing your model is difficult. All of it's difficult, but you need to choose your hard, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be hard to stay in that. It's going to be hard to make the change, but on the other side of the changes is where the clarity and the prosperity comes. So this is your challenge, gym owners. We'll wrap it up here. What you do in your business today needs to be different than you did last week or last month or last year. And I'm not saying like change every single week. My point is a lot of you are running old tactics, having old models, running grandfathered rates. You haven't painted the gym in 7 years. You haven't got new equipment in the same amount of time since you opened. Your fans are broken. Your light bulbs are out. The broken mirror in the corner that you're not going to replace. Like you have to change and adapt or you're going to die. People, there's too many choices out there for people. So you have to look at everything. Customer service or customer experience is one of them, but all of the things on the business side is what we're talking about. If you don't change, eventually it's going to be a slow death. What will happen is you'll do 500 grand this year, and then next year do 470, and then the next year you'll do 440, and then it's 290, and then it's 7 years later and you're doing one quarter of what you were doing. And you're like, well, COVID, right? Like something's going to be an excuse.
The excuse, yeah.
It's because you haven't changed. You haven't adapted. Hopefully that helps you guys. Don't be that person. Until next episode, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.